Not all narcissists look the same. Some are loud and obvious. The ones who insult you to your face or dominate every conversation and leave you feeling small. Others hide behind charm, kindness, and even faith, making it that much harder to see what's really going on. And the quiet ones? They could be the most dangerous ones of all. Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives. One story, one truth, one brave step at a time. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Not That Girl Anymore. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon, trauma therapist, coach, and the founder of Embrace Your Brave. If you've ever felt like you're losing your mind in a relationship, doubting yourself, second guessing your instincts, feeling like somehow you're the problem, I need you to hear me out. You are not crazy. That's one of our mottos here. Our last episode on narcissistic abuse resonated with so many people that we decided to do a part two and continue that conversation. So today we're pulling back the curtain on what I call the hidden faces of narcissism, the ways it shows up that most people don't talk about and that can be so hard to spot when you're the one living it. By the end of this episode, you'll know the five main types of narcissist, how they operate, and some first steps to start protecting yourself. And my hope is that you'll walk away feeling more clarity, feeling more validation, and feeling more empowered to trust your gut again. So, a quick recap. Narcissistic abuse is a pattern of manipulation, control, and exploitation that chips away at your sense of self. It's not just about someone being arrogant or selfish. It's about how they systematically dismantle your confidence, your boundaries, and your reality over time. It's psychological, emotional, financial, spiritual, and sometimes physical abuse. And it's the slow erosion of trust in yourself. And because many narcissists are highly skilled at looking good on the outside, victims often end up confused, isolated, and questioning their own reality. And that's why I want to walk you through the different types of narcissists so you can start to see some of those patterns for what they are. Knowing the type of narcissist you're dealing with isn't just about putting people into boxes, and it's definitely not about diagnosing anyone. Remember, you don't need a diagnosis. We're talking about patterns of harmful behavior. If it's harming you, that's what matters. Different types tend to lean on different tactics. So the charming social one might manipulate you in public. The quiet victim playing one might guilt you in private. And when you can name what's happening, you stop second guessing yourself and you start protecting yourself. This isn't about obsessing over labels. It's about having a language for what you've been living through. And that language makes you feel less crazy and more in control. So, the most well-known type of narcissist is the overt narcissist. This is the person that's loud, arrogant, attention-seeking, and unapologetically self-promoting, right? We know these types. They don't hide their need to dominate you. In fact, they wear it like a badge of honor. They'll interrupt you, they'll correct you, they'll dismiss you right in front of others without blinking an eye. They thrive on being the smartest, the funniest, the most important person in the room. And if the spotlight shifts off of them even a little, they'll find a way to get it back, even if that means embarrassing you. So this is the person who constantly is talking about themselves, talking about their achievements, cutting you off mid-sentence, making jokes at your expense at the dinner table. Everyone laughs, maybe even you laugh too, because you've learned that it's safer to play along. But on the inside, you feel hurt, dismissed, and small. So this is what most people think of when they think of a narcissist. You don't need a magnifying glass to spot these people. But here's the thing, because they're so blatant, it can still be really hard to leave. Victims might normalize this or minimize them or believe that speaking up will only make things worse. So that's the first type. The next type is the covert narcissist. The covert narcissist is much harder to spot. They can appear humble, sensitive, and even self-deprecating. But under the surface, they're highly manipulative and very self-focused. This person plays the victim to get sympathy and gain control. But let me just say this: covert and overt aren't totally separate boxes. The same person can switch back and forth in both of these things depending on the situation. So the covert narcissist, this is the analogy that I use to describe this. This is the person that's like smiling at you across the table and telling you how much they love you. But underneath the table, they're stabbing you. And you're bleeding out. And you see that. But they're telling you, oh, you're fine. Everything's fine. And from the outside, all people can see is the smile across the table. They can't see what's happening to you underneath. This is a crazy maker for you. Because to your face, they're smiling and telling you they love you, but you can feel the dagger in your heart. You can feel that you're bleeding out. And this can be a crazy maker for you. And this leaves you feeling confused and alone. Another place I see this, a pretty common place actually, when I'm working with people is through text messages. You can feel a dagger through a text message that no one else can see. It can be maybe sarcasm or like twisting your words. And when you show it to someone else, they might say, wow, they're so nice. Or wow, they're so good at communicating. But you, as the target, you experience something totally different. You know exactly what's beneath those words. And this is what we call a dog whistle. It's a coded message that's meant for you alone that other people can't see. So, an example of this is a partner who texts, maybe, I'm just worried about you. And to everyone else, it looks loving, but you know it's a warning. You've seen that message before. And it always comes before maybe an interrogation or a criticism or a punishment, even. And this is masterful manipulation. And it's why part of healing is restoring trust in yourself, in your own eyes, in your own gut, because so many times you are the only one who sees and knows it. And let me tell you this. At the end of the day, that's really all that matters. You are the most important person to see it and know it. And if you are the only one that does, That is enough. So that's the covert narcissist. A third type is the malignant narcissist. Now, this is a term used to describe a combination of narcissism with cruelty, control, and sometimes antisocial and sadistic traits. A malignant narcissist doesn't just want to win, they want you to lose. And they often take pleasure in watching you suffer. They use fear, threats, and humiliation as weapons. And they rarely stop when you set a boundary. They laugh at a boundary. They see a boundary as a challenge to destroy you. These are also often the ones that are willing to weaponize the legal system. They will weaponize children and finances and your safety in order to maintain control. So they don't just need to control, they enjoy your pain. This is where you will see stalking and smear campaigns and financial ruin and sabotaging your relationships. So, an example of this, perhaps an ex-partner who not only refuses to respect a child custody agreement, but also actively works to get you fired from your job or to actively turn your friends and family against you or to drag you through unnecessary legal battles just to watch you struggle. This is the person that might show up at your workplace to cause a scene, all while insisting that you are the unstable one. They have no limits to what they will do to hurt you. And a malignant narcissist, often they escalate when they feel exposed or rejected. So safety is of utmost importance for you. Safety planning and strong boundaries, it's not just helpful, it is essential for you if this is your situation. The fourth type is what we call the communal narcissist. This person appears selfless and charitable and community minded. But their kindness is performative and self-serving. Now, they might take on leadership roles and they might volunteer and they might donate publicly, not out of genuine care, but to be praised and to build a spotless public image. When they do something nice or helpful, they don't just simply give, they make sure you and others will never forget it. They'll remind you of it over and over. So those good deeds become leverage to guilt you, control you, or manipulate you later. When money is involved, there is a clear message: you owe me, and there's always strings attached. Behind closed doors, they can be cruel, critical, and controlling. But if you speak up, you look like the ungrateful one attacking a good person. So, an example of this: a person prays for generosity who shames or belittles their family at home, or a spouse or a parent who insists you join them for a photo op, very public, but ignores you and treats you with contempt in private. Their public good deeds are a shield against accountability and making it nearly impossible for others to believe you. So, this is what we call a communal narcissist. They look good in public. But behind the scenes, it's something different. A fifth type that we'll talk about today is the spiritual narcissist or the religious narcissist. This is one who uses faith to control, shame, and elevate themselves. So a spiritual narcissist will use religion, scripture, or spiritual authority to control, shame, and exploit others. This can be a pastor, a partner, or a church member. Anyone who twists spiritual language to dominate rather than to serve. A horrific example of this, and one I've seen far too many times, is a spouse who uses scripture to force sex from their partner or to coerce that out of you, to manipulate you, to guilt you, perhaps telling you that it's your duty to meet their needs. This example just makes me sick to my stomach. It's disgusting. And the way that this damages people, and especially women that I know, it's just horrific. So, this is a form of abuse that's particularly damaging because it targets your deepest values. It can damage your relationship with God and your community. It leaves you not only doubting yourself, but sometimes even doubting your worth before God. So that's the spiritual narcissist. You might have experienced one of these, or all of these, or pieces of several of these. And listen, they don't always fit neatly into one category or another. But once you see these patterns, you can't unsee them. And that is a really good thing. Part of why narcissistic abuse is so hard to identify is because we don't know all the faces that it can have. It's not just the obvious, loud version. It's also the quiet version that hides behind kindness or faith. These people can be so convincing in public, and they can get other people to side with them because of that. And that leaves you feeling isolated and doubting yourself. This double life is one of the hardest parts for survivors because it makes you wonder if this person is so wonderful to everyone else, what is it about me? Maybe I am the problem. And let me just stop you right there and say, no, you're not. So, how do we protect ourselves, Dawn? What do we do? And we're just going to start somewhere with some small things that we can do to start protecting you. So, number one, notice the patterns and not the promises. Abusers aren't bad all the time. They aren't mean all the time. Abusers can have good days, right? And they can say all the right things. They can even apologize and they can even cry, right? But healing starts when we focus on not just things that are said, but what they consistently do over time. Not just on their words or their occasional good moments. I tell my clients, I say, look, we believe actions, not words. And because of this, what I recommend is writing things down. So keep a private log of the incidents that happen, of the way it makes you feel, of the dates and the times and all the things that will remind you of what has happened. Because over time, you'll start to see the cycle more clearly, and that will make it more difficult to be gaslit by this person. I think writing things down is super important because in our traumatized state, our memory starts to shut down and we will genuinely forget what happened. And what happens then is we will put ourselves right back in that harmful situation because we will literally forget. It's also why I recommend having a safe person or safe people to talk to that don't forget so that they can remind you. So we notice patterns, not the promises. Number two, and we've talked about this before, trust your body and trust your body's warning signals. Your body knows before your brain can catch up at all. So pay attention to your body and signs like your heart racing or that pit in your stomach. You know that pit in your stomach where you just feel sick to your stomach and your gut? Listen to that. Pay attention. That's there for a reason. It can also look like headaches or feeling frozen when you're around this person or even thinking about this person. You don't have to justify why you feel unsafe. Just trust it. Your nervous system is picking up on something that's real. So acknowledge these sensations instead of dismissing them. Reconnect with your body, listen to your body, and honor what your body is telling you. And number three, stop over-explaining or defending. People who respect you don't require you to explain your boundaries over and over. And here's the thing: abusers will take your explanations as opportunities to twist your words and pull you right back into the argument, right? And then we're in this circular conversation that goes nowhere. So think of this acronym called JADE. So you don't need to justify, argue, defend, or explain yourself. Instead, practice short, clear responses like this. Nope, that doesn't work for me. I'm not available for this conversation. We see things differently. Don't waste your breath trying to convince them of anything. You're never going to succeed in that. And number four, create and guard safe support. Healing is faster and safer when you're surrounded by people who believe you. So identify at least one person who is safe to talk to, someone who listens without judgment, someone who does not pressure you to just forgive this person or say it's not that bad or minimize your pain. And if you can, I definitely recommend a support group or finding a group of survivors of abuse and being with people who get it without you having to explain anything or everything. This can be a life-changing experience. Number five, limit or cut off access to your inner world. I find that many of us, we value honesty and loyalty, and sometimes to a fault, because unsafe people don't deserve our honesty or our loyalty or our vulnerability. The less information a narcissist has about your feelings or your plans or any of your vulnerabilities, the less ammunition they have to hurt you with. So less is more. Practice the gray rock, which is giving neutral, minimal responses. And listen, sometimes when it's possible, go no contact. If you can't go no contact because of maybe children or other things that keep you connected, then learn to keep communication short and factual and only about the logistics. So, limit or cut off access to your inner world. And number six, stay safe. If you're dealing with someone who's violent or unpredictable or physically aggressive, have a plan for where you can go and who you can call in an emergency. Also, save important documents, save money, any essentials in a safe place that you can access quickly. I know this might sound dramatic, but it's not about being dramatic. It's about being prepared. People that don't understand this, it's because they haven't experienced this. But listen, listen to yourself, listen to your gut, listen to what I'm saying. It is good and right to be safe and prepared. And that's part of taking your power back, okay? Education is power. Stay educated. Find people that understand. Be prepared. Listen to your gut. Listen to your body, okay? So, just a quick recap. We have just walked through five hidden faces of narcissism: the overt, the covert, the malignant, the communal, and the spiritual. My hope is that now you have a language for what you've experienced, and now you have the beginning of a plan to protect yourself. If no one has told you this today, you matter, and your pain matters, and what's happening to you is real, and it's not your fault. You deserve to be safe and whole and free. And if you are ready to go deeper with this, or you're ready to find your people, find your support, find your place where you can be educated and empowered, I have a coaching group that's called Reclaiming You, and it is designed to help you untangle the confusion, to rebuild your sense of self, and to find your voice again. You can find the details for all of this on our website, embraceyourbrave.org, and I would love for you to start your journey and to start your road to healing back to you. So, since there seems to be some interest in this narcissistic abuse thing, then we're going to keep talking about it. I'm going to have people on sharing their stories and sharing their heart and sharing their passions around this particular topic. And I think next time we're going to start talking about what are some of the tactics, what are some of those things that narcissists use to keep you hooked. And we'll just keep educating ourselves. We'll keep talking about this. We'll keep creating a safe space to talk about this and for you to see that you're not alone in any of this. So remember, I'm right here walking alongside of you. We're going to do this together. You are not crazy. It's one of our mottos here. You're not alone. And you're not that girl anymore. Hey, friend, just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything. It's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing. Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org, to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis.
You're not that girl anymore.